Our passage for today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Today is Palm Sunday, which marks the final week before Jesus was crucified. We will be looking at a passage together about this Palm Sunday. Hear now the word of our Father. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go in the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there and said to them, 'What are you doing?' Untying the colt. And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer again? Gracious Father, we come before you on this amazing Sunday as we look upon your final days here before you were crucified. And we know that you did not come just to dwell as a man simply, but you came to die on the cross for us. So as we look into your word, as we dive into your scriptures, may you reveal to us what it is that you were doing back then. Reveal to us what it is that you're doing now. Lord, would you be with me? May I not get in the way of your word, but may it be your spirit and your word which pierces the hearts of your people here, starting with myself. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage that we just read, we were reading about Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey or a colt, and the people of Israel were clearly very excited and were celebrating Jesus' final arrival, right? He was celebrating his arrival to Jerusalem. And this may sound strange to you, right? And I know it definitely sounds strange to me, because in just a few days after this passage, just a few chapters from this passage, we will find that these very same people who were shouting, who were celebrating, who were screaming, they were going to be the ones to turn their backs on Jesus and nail his hands and feet to a cross in order to crucify him. And so we need to understand why it was the case that Israel would go from complete adoration, complete worship, into a place of pure hatred and wanting to murder Jesus on the cross, even though he did nothing wrong. And so the reason that I want to highlight today for us as to why the Israel would turn their backs on Jesus so quickly is that Jesus was not the king that Israel had wanted, but he was the king that God had promised. Right? Jesus was not the king that Israel wanted, but he was the king that God had promised. And there are many, many indications and signs in this short passage that reveal to us that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the prophecies and all the prophets of the Old Testament for the Jewish people. But for today, for our purposes today, given that it is a shorter sermon, we will look at the two most obvious ones. Okay, and the first of the two signs that we see in this passage is the donkey, right, the colt. In verse 2, it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it to me.'" Okay, so now Jesus was not telling his disciples, "Go and find a donkey to steal, right? Bring it back to me, and you know, I need a donkey, so go fetch one for me." Right? First, he said that he would bring it back, right? He said, "Tell whoever it is that you're gonna bring it back." Okay, and second of all, the person whose donkey this was, they let them have it. Okay. So the question then is, how does Jesus telling his disciples to get a donkey signify his prophesied entry into Jerusalem? Right, what is the significance of Jesus telling the disciples, "Go get me a colt"? There are many passages in the Old Testament that prophesy this, okay, many. But one of the passages that I want to highlight in the Old Testament comes from Genesis chapter 49, where we read about Jacob blessing his sons, right? And before, a few months ago, we were going through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Jacob, the third of the patriarchies of the faith, he has many sons, but 12 of them are the 12 tribes of Israel. And towards the end of his life, he blesses his sons, one of them being Judah. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 49, verses 10 through 11, Jacob says this to Judah. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until the tribute comes to him. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. So what is Jacob saying in this blessing that he has for Judah? He's saying that for you, Judah, one of my sons, you will always have the scepter. So the scepter is a symbol of royalty, a symbol of kingship, kingliship, royalty. So that's the first thing. The second thing is he will bind a donkey to the choice vine. Judah will bind a donkey to the choice vine. Does this sound familiar to us, I wonder? For we know, if we read in Matthew chapter 1, that in the genealogy of Jesus, it says that Jesus is a descendant from Judah himself. And not only is Jesus a descendant from Judah, but Jesus himself has says that he is the true vine. So with Judah comes the scepter, and with Judah's donkey is bound the true vine. So you see, Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey is not coincidence, right? It was not just some random image for the sake of a cute VBS picture. It was not just something for the children to see and look at what a cute little donkey. But it was very deliberate, it was very intentional, and it was prophesied, and it was all coordinated by Jesus so as to fulfill this prophecy that was predicted by the Old Testament, or that was said in the Old Testament. So that's the first sign that we see, the donkey, right? The second sign that we see is entering Jerusalem in the temple. So we read this in verse 11, the last verse of our passage today, and it says this, "And he entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." Okay, so at first, especially for me, it didn't sound like a very significant verse. It sounded just like, not that any verses of the Bible is filler, but it sounded like a filler scene in the movie. But I want us to turn our attention to a passage in Ezekiel. And for those of us who don't know, Ezekiel was another prophet for Israel in the Old Testament, right? During Israel's time of exile, right? So during Ezekiel's time of being a prophet, he received many signs, many visions from God about Israel's near future and Israel's very distant future. The problem with Ezekiel was that no one would believe what he said, but among these visions that God gave to Ezekiel, it says this in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 23. "And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain that is on the east side of the city." I'll read that again. It's just a short verse. "And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain that is on the east side of the city." So we read in the context of this passage that the glory of the Lord, in the midst of Israel's exile, the glory of the Lord originally being in the temple, originally being in the Ark of the Covenant, leaves the temple, right? First he leaves the temple, then he leaves the city, then he goes up the mountain, which is, we know, the Mount of Olives. And the reason for God doing this was because Israel was exhibiting idolatry and a lot of sinfulness, so it caused God's presence to leave his residing place, which was the temple, leave Jerusalem, and then go up the Mount of Olives. So here's the connection that we have to our passage today on Palm Sunday. Right? In Ezekiel, the glory of the Lord left the temple, then left Jerusalem, then went up the Mount of Olives. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus Christ, who is the revelation of the glory of God, who is the glory of God, went down the Mount of Olives, went into the city of Jerusalem, and went into the temple. In verse 11, it says that Jesus went into the temple. And so even a simple verse of Jesus entering Jerusalem and entering the temple was not just a filler verse. That even Jesus entering a temple was very intentional and was communicating to the people of Israel, whether they knew it or not, it was communicating to them that that their long-awaited king, their long-awaited Messiah, the one who was spoken about through all the prophecies of the Old Testament, he has finally come. And little did they know at the time, little did the people know at the time, and often little do we know, that the glory of God who departed up the Mount of Olives had returned to them before their very eyes. And the irony of it all, we read in our passage in today in Mark that the people who were cheering for Jesus, they were screaming, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." When these people were saying Hosanna, Hosanna means God save us. And when they're saying Hosanna, they're saying God has come to save us, but from Rome, who has been our most recent conqueror. Hosanna, God has come to save us from our current political situations. And when they were saying blessed is the coming kingdom of their father David, they were saying Israel will once again be a powerful militant nation where we will be able to stand above our enemies like we used to. The irony is, is that Jesus did come to save them, but not from Rome. Jesus descended down to earth from heaven. He went down the Mount of Olives. He went to Jerusalem on a donkey, entered the temple, all to show that the Old Testament prophets were looking towards this man who was God, who would one day take away the sins of the world, who will one day take away the sins of the people who would crucify him, that he would pay the penalty for our sins so that one day we as a new creation would look to God, look to Jesus at the glory of God and say, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King, the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not the king that Israel wanted, but he was the king that God had promised. Just a quick word of application for us as we think about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem for us. Simply put, is Jesus in your life the Jesus that you want, or is the Jesus in your life the Jesus of the Bible? Jesus did not free Israel from Rome, nor did he make Israel a powerful militant nation like they wanted, and they crucified him for it. If Jesus didn't give you the job you wanted, if Jesus didn't give you the perfect church community that you wanted, if Jesus didn't give you the perfect life that you were looking for, would he still be Lord over your life? And this is a challenge that I say for myself. This is a challenge that I say to all of us, Crossway Fellowship and God With Us Church, that as we look to the glory of God who descended down, not just from the Mount of Olives, but who descended down into the wrath of his Father God, as we look to the glory of God who entered not just the temple, but the Holy Spirit who enters us, the new temple, would not the King of our lives that God had promised us be more than enough despite whatever happens in our lives? Would not the God of the universe, the God who created us, the God who knows us, who knows the number of our heads, be more than enough despite whatever may happen? And that is a challenge that I pose to you who are reading or who are listening, pose to myself, that I know I fall so many times, but I know that Jesus descended into hell, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, but he rose again for the sake of sinners like you and me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for coming down as a man. We thank you for showing us who you really were, showing us that you were the true King, you were the true Messiah, the one we didn't deserve, the one we didn't want, but the one that you had promised. So we thank you, Lord. Help us to trust you, help us to know you, help us to believe in you, for we could not do it ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.